Welcome to the deep dive. You're here, I imagine, because you want to get a handle on what's happening in Vermont education and, well, get it pretty efficiently.
Right.
We've done the legwork, digging through quite a few sources, the 802 Ed newsletter, which is very Vermont-focused, plus local news, national reports.
Yeah, a real mix. We've got VT Digger 7 days, WCAX, but also things from, you know, the New York Times, Politico, Education Week.
Exactly. All to give you a clear picture, hopefully, of the key developments right here in the state.
And our goal, really, is to pull out the most significant stuff, connect those dots, maybe give you a few aha moments about what's actually going on and why it matters for Vermont.
Okay, let's unpack this then. One of the first big things that jumps out is this dynamic between federal directives and how Vermont is responding.
Mm-hmm.
The 802 Ed newsletter specifically mentioned a federal directive about DEI activities, and Vermont's Secretary of Education had a pretty strong response.
Yeah, I saw that, basically saying that what the feds called unlawful or illegal DEI doesn't look anything like the inclusive, student-centered things happening in Vermont schools.
Right. A real firm pushback.
And it's interesting because, you know, the newsletter points out Vermont isn't alone here. You've got New York, Minnesota, Washington, a bunch of other states sort of saying similar things.
So it suggests a broader disagreement or maybe friction?
Well, it highlights a fundamental difference maybe in how equity is being approached. Mm-hmm. Is it top-down compliance, or is it, like Vermont seems to argue, more about locally driven student-focused work? That's a core tension, isn't it?
Definitely. And it's not just DEI, right? The newsletter also touched on the administration telling agencies to repeal regulations without the usual public input process.
Yeah, that was mentioned. The sources don't spell out exactly what that means for Vermont education yet, but it certainly hints at potential shifts down the road, regulatory shifts.
Things that could affect how schools operate, potentially.
Could be.
Mm.
And if you connect that to the bigger picture, like the proposal USA Today reported on to eliminate funding for Head Start.
Oh, right.
That could have a really significant impact here in Vermont.
Right.
Head Start is, I mean, it's vital for a lot of low-income families in early ed.
Absolutely. A cut like that would create huge challenges.
No question.
And then you layer on the New York Times reporting lawsuits popping up against that DEI directive from the administration.
Right. So you see this kind of tug of war happening nationally.
And Vermont's clearly staking out its position in that debate.
Which all kind of circles back neatly to that reader survey question in 802 Ed, didn't it?
Yeah, the one asking how Vermont's education system is responding to federal changes.
Exactly. With the options like, you know, pushing back more, trying to keep a low profile, or thinking the changes are fine, it shows there's an active discussion, different views right here in the state.
Okay, so shifting focus now. Let's look inside Vermont. We're seeing some pretty significant changes happening on the ground.
Mm-hmm. School closures, for yeah. one.
Right, the closure of Ripton Elementary. WCAX reported on that it was a unanimous decision, and this was a tiny school, just 20 students.
20 kids, wow. And 802 Ed mentioned similar discussions happening up in North Hero, too.
Yeah. And these aren't just, you know, line items on a budget. They have a huge impact on those specific communities.
Oh, absolutely. Closing a small school like Ripton, it immediately makes you ask bigger questions about, well, the future of a rural education in Vermont, doesn't it? With enrollment dropping and costs rising.
Is this a sign of things to come for other small schools?
It could be indicative of those larger systemic pressures, yeah. And you see the tension elsewhere, too, like that 7 days report about the 10th school board meeting and the educators walking out.
Right. That definitely points to underlying stress in the system as these tough decisions get made.
For sure.
And the Chester Telegraph, they covered a community meeting about statewide education reform. A big theme there was just uncertainty.
Uncertainty, yeah. That quote, "How can we move ahead without answers to the unknown?" That really captures it, I think.
People are feeling apprehensive about major changes without knowing all the details.
Which underlines how important clear communication is during reforms like this. People need the what and the why.
And speaking of voices, that open letter from Brattleboro students in 802 Ed's Buzz on the Street.
Yes. Demanding to be heard.
Exactly. They made the point that students are the biggest stakeholders, but they don't feel like their voices are being valued in these changes.
A really critical point. They're the ones most directly affected, after all.
And Katie Grennan's op-ed, also in Buzz, echoed some of that anxiety, especially around school consolidation.
Her point about needing a clear plan for cost savings was key, I thought.
Yeah, she said without that clear plan, all you can really expect is that closing schools harms kids, communities, and equitable access. That really hit home.
It really resonates with the concerns you hear. But, you know, it's important to remember there are different takes on this.
Like T. Elijah Hawks.
Right. Also in Buzz, suggesting, you know, maybe Vermont schools aren't as broken as some say. It shows it's not a simple picture. There isn't one single narrative everyone agrees on.
Okay, so moving beyond those broader shifts, what about some specific initiatives or challenges popping up?
Well, that VT Digger report about the absolute shock in schools.
Oh, right, the federal grant changes.
Yeah, sudden changes hitting summer programming, literacy initiatives. It's a really concrete example of how federal actions can just, bam, disrupt things locally.
Creates real headaches for schools trying to plan and run programs.
Definitely illustrates that interconnectedness of funding. And then, on a very different note, the NBC5 story about the two Nicaraguan students facing deportation.
Yeah, that was powerful.
It just brings that human dimension right to the forefront, doesn't it?
Mm.
The personal impact of policies and the role schools often play in supporting these kids.
A really important reminder that these aren't just abstract policy debates.
Exactly.
Now, that Heads Up Vermont section in 802, Ed, was interesting too, looking at what other states are doing.
Mm-hmm. Missouri's attendance strategy. Washington's social media tax idea for youth mental health.
Delaware focusing on school board accountability. Arizona with cell phone rules.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder, right? Could any of these ideas offer lessons or sparks for Vermont?
It's always good to see what others are trying, I think. Maybe find some adaptable solutions.
Absolutely. Whether it's attendance or mental well-being, there might be valuable takeaways there for Vermont leaders.
And amidst all the challenges, it was nice to see the profile of the Vermont Teacher of the Year in the If You Missed It section.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Their commitment really shone through.
That quote, "Despite all of the noise, I walk into my room every day filled with immense purpose and immense hope." Just really inspiring.
It truly is. A needed reminder of the dedication in our classrooms. And the newsletter also flagged practical things, like those virtual mental health first aid workshops for educators.
Good practical support.
Yeah, and all those deadlines, listed conference proposals, Teacher of the Year nominations, student rep applications. It shows there's ongoing activity, ways for people to get involved.
No, we also have to acknowledge the practical hurdles, like staffing. That VPA report mentioning 43 school leader vacancies.
Right, and just the generally tough job market for school staff in Vermont, which the job listing section hints at.
Staffing is critical. You can't implement changes effectively without the people on the ground.
Definitely a key factor. And stepping back again to broader trends, the New York Times piece on AI for teachers, that's a huge one.
Yeah, AI is just exploding everywhere, including education, potential transformations, but also big questions.
For sure. And related maybe to the pressures. That Education Week article arguing for movement breaks for teachers. Focus on staff well-being.
Which seems increasingly important.
And while it's not Vermont specific, that Politico opinion piece about Supreme Court cases possibly being the biggest threat to public education.
Right. Just a reminder that the national legal landscape matters too, even if the details weren't in our sources.
Exactly. Big picture stuff.
And on a lighter note, the Fast Company bit about the Secretary of Education mixing up AI and A1 sauce.
Ah, yeah. A memorable little moment navigating all this new tech talk.
It is. Then back to Buzz on the Street. Ben Clark's piece arguing for phone-free schools in Vermont.
Yes, making the moral imperative case. And that linked nicely to the Hechinger Report article about that district in Washington State actually doing it, implementing a ban.
So a growing conversation about phones in schools, it seems.
Looks like it. And finally, that joint fiscal office summary of H-454.
The big education reform bill related to governance, quality, finance.
Right. And the editor's note in 802 Ed reflecting on the Ripton closure alongside the governor's proposals and the House bill on consolidation and funding.
Yeah, that reflection really tied things together, the legislation, the proposals, and the very real impact on communities like Ripton, the whole local control question.
It brought it right back to those core Vermont issues, didn't it?
It did. So, okay, as we wrap up this deep dive, a few key themes really stand out, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's that ongoing tension, that push and pull between federal direction and Vermont's desire for local control.
Definitely.
We've seen these really complex, often difficult discussions about school consolidation and funding, with Ripton as a very real, tangible example.
The human side of those numbers.
And then just a whole range of specific initiatives and concerns, grant changes, staffing, supporting educators, looking at new ideas.
It's a snapshot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of a really dynamic, constantly shifting education landscape here in Vermont. Lots happening at every level.
So maybe a final thought to leave listeners with, building on that Ripton reflection, considering that closure and all the statewide talk about reform, what do you see as the biggest long-term opportunity, or maybe the biggest challenge, facing Vermont's schools and communities right now?
That's a great question. It really pushes you to think beyond the headlines, doesn't it? About the kind of future we're building for students and for our towns.
Something to mull over.
Yeah, definitely. Staying informed, considering all these different angles, it feels really crucial as these conversations keep going.